Over the centuries, there have been many different art movements. But one that fascinates me is a movement called pointillism. It was in the 1880s when Georges Seurat, a French painter, experimented with colour. And instead of mixing colours together on his palette and then applying the mixed colours to the canvas, Seurat experimented with placing distinct points of different colours side by side. The dots were placed so close together that in the eyes of the person observing it, an image was created. It's still a popular art technique used by artists today. But this idea of individual dots blurring together in the observer's eyes so that they see something altogether different is not only an art technique. It is a, can I suggest, spiritual technique in the hands of the master artist, God himself. I mean, isn't that what we just read together in John 17? That all of them may be one. That they may be one as we are one. In my paraphrase, that the individual dots may be blurred together. And to what end? Then the world will know that you sent me. So let's explore what this might mean, this prayer of Jesus might mean for us. And the first thing I'd like you to notice is the nature of the unity which Jesus speaks of. Now, of course, there are many expressions of people working together to achieve something way beyond what any of them as individuals could achieve. I mean, think of the work around the world that is going on right now to make a coronavirus vaccine available. Apparently, how the world is working together and the speed at which it is happening is unprecedented. It has never happened like this before. But as amazing as this unified effort is, what Jesus is praying for is something totally different. He is not praying for an incredible human achievement, but for something totally beyond us, something supernatural, something only God can do. Notice again how Jesus prayed. I have given them the glory that you, God the Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. What is the focus of the prayer? What is Jesus asking God to do? That his followers, you and me, that his followers may be one. That they may know and live in the unique and supernatural unity that exists in God himself. The Bible paints an amazing picture of God. Yes, there is only one God, the eternal creator God. And yet, he has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as distinct persons. And yet, these distinct persons blur into each other in a mysterious way. As Jesus puts it, they are in each other. They are one. They are Trinity. This, of course, is a unity we struggle to explain. But nevertheless, this is the reality of God. We see an example of this in John 14. Jesus speaks to his disciples of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one who will be with them forever, who will be in them. And in this context, Jesus says to them, I will come to you. And the disciples would have been, are you saying, Jesus? No, you just said the Holy Spirit is coming to us. Now you're saying, I am coming to you. You're coming to us. Jesus continues, I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. The 17 is the very unity that exists in God himself, filling and overflowing the lives of those who have believed in him. Jesus is asking for a work of the Holy Spirit in his followers' lives, that they would know the dynamic reality of God in us. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. God, by the Holy Spirit, living in us. Let me explain it like this. When our kids were young, Kerry a couple of times made ginger beer. And part of the process of making ginger beer was collecting bottles. And usually that would mean a collection of different types, sizes, and coloured bottles filled with the ginger beer. And just like those different types of bottles sitting side by side, even though we might look different, we are united because of what is in us. Do you get it? Our unity is not something we can manufacture. It is God in us. Friends, the prayer, Jesus' prayer, has been answered. The Holy Spirit has come. We are one in Christ Jesus. So what I'd like you to do right now is get up and walk around and greet each other. You may feel comfortable shaking hands, you may not. I suggest no kissing because of coronavirus, but maybe hugging, I don't know. And what I want you to do is go to someone you don't know, maybe someone whose language you don't understand, and I want you to say to them, hello, brother, or hello, sister, I'm glad we are here together. Let's do it. Hello, brother. Hello, sister. I'm glad we are here together. Hey. Hi, brother. G'day, brother. I'm glad we're here together. G'day, mate.
I'm doing this.
Hey, mate. I'm glad we're here together.
It's pretty warm.
It's pretty warm. Okay, let's try and come back together. Come on, come on. I haven't finished yet. Would Roger Lang please sit down? Didn't even listen to me. Thank you. Yes, you get it, don't you? One people in Christ Jesus. But there is something else we need to think about as we consider this unity that Jesus prays for. This unity of the Spirit that is ours in Christ is not something we simply sit back and receive. It is something we need to live 24/7. As the followers of Jesus, we are called to engage in the walk of unity. In his first letter, the Apostle John speaks of fellowship, of this shared life we enjoy together. And in talking about this fellowship, we hear him saying things like, God is love. Love one another. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. You see, the emphasis of the Bible is that the unity of the Spirit is a life to be lived. A life to be lived intentionally. Something we need to walk in. Now, that of course is not always easy. I mean, you just should watch Johnny and I together. It's not always easy. But for us here at Southside, it is a key component of who we are. It will cost us. It will mean sacrificing and being generous. Like our Baptist brothers and sisters, you would not believe the sacrifice and generosity of the members of this church, what they've done to make space for us, to make room for us. Last Sunday, Pastor Darrell announced to the congregation that we were coming just to prepare them. And the leaders all knew about it. And he said, and guess how much we're charging them? And they, people just fed, came back and said, you would have said nothing. And that's the spirit in which we have been welcomed into this space. We need to remember, we're hanging out in someone else's house. Let's look after it. But we sit here because our Baptist brothers and sisters have sacrificed and are being generous towards us, another church in this local community. And when I first broached it with them, they said, absolutely. We want to do this for the kingdom of God. This community needs a church building on that corner. Yes, let's do it. It will also mean, as the Apostle Paul put it, preferring one another in love, being willing to put our own preferences and desires aside for the sake of the other. Now, we, given the nature of Southside International Church, we are acutely aware of the reality that all of us have cultural preferences. I mean, for example, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, like toasted Turkish bread covered with butter and either cherry or blackberry jam and just eating it. Or there's nothing like a roast chicken with roast vegetables just covered in gravy. Everyone should eat that. With rice. Hey, let's do something. Yeah, exactly. let's do something here. You see, they're two of my favourites. If you said, what's your favourite food? I would have said Turkish bread smothered in butter with jam and or roast chicken and roast veggies and gravies. What I want you to do right now is call out, yes, call it out, your favourite food. Whatever language you want to do it in, come on, let's do it. Come on, come on. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Come on.
Whole chicken.
I suspect many of you don't have favourite foods by the response. I mean, come on, yes. We all have cultural preferences, but there will be times, because we prefer one another in love, we are willing to put our preferences aside for the sake of the other. I'll eat rice all day. I actually really love it, but that's another story. In doing that, we are doing what an African brother, Juan Mokgatle, I'm not sure if that's how he says his name, calls being transcultural. He defines it this way. Transcultural means being a community. Where am I? Transcultural. Being a community that reflects, embraces, and enjoys the diversity of its context, but by the power of the gospel, transcends it and creates one new community in Christ. You know, a shared meal at Southside is such a picture of one community in Christ. Something transcending our cultural preferences. Yes, we enjoy and celebrate our differences while choosing to walk as one new community in Christ. But friends, as we live in the reality of this unity, we need to know something. We are changing the world. We are making an impact. Listen again to Jesus' prayer, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Unity is not an end in and of itself. It is not the ultimate goal. It is a means to an end. We are living in a world where people desperately need to see Jesus, to know and experience God's love and mercy, God's forgiveness and restoration. And as we walk together in the unity of the Spirit, the world will see Jesus. Sure, as we work together as the body of Christ, each of us according to our own gifts, skills, and roles, we will be effective in showing Jesus to the world. And yes, sure, as we go on mission, be on mission, engaging with the world through good works and telling out the message of Jesus, people will see Jesus. But can I suggest there is another dimension to the impact of this unity Jesus is praying about? Scripture tells us that through his supernatural power, the God of this age, the devil, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ. But what if? What if God's way of combating combating the spiritual blindness and opening the eyes of our family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers is by means of the superior supernatural power of the Holy Spirit released into the world by our unity. What if our walking together in Christ is actually spiritual warfare? It's a declaration to the devil, to the world, that the devil has lost, that brokenness and discord are not how it is supposed to be. It's not the plan and purpose of God. It's not what God has for our lives. Our friends, hear it. Hear it. Our walking together in unity is a signboard. It's a light, if you will, to the nations. It's a declaration that God's desire to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ is here. It has come. It has begun. I don't know what color dot you see yourself as here today. But here is the thing. Here is the thing. God is doing something spectacular through us. I mean, us, for crying out loud, look at us. But God is doing something spectacular with us. He is taking us and placing us side by side in such a way that the world may know that Jesus has come, that Jesus is here. What is my prayer? Shine, Jesus, shine. Shine through us. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the life that is ours in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. We marvel, God, that your purpose, your design, your plan is to welcome us into fellowship with yourself through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We marvel that here is our reality, Christ in us, Spirit in us, Father in us, us living together in fellowship. It blows our minds. And Lord, yes, we thank you for the great privilege of being people from different nations, from different tongues, different ages, different genders, totally different life experiences. But we can gather together as one people in Christ Jesus here in this place. We can lift our voices, albeit in different languages. Some of us can sing and some of us can't, but we can nevertheless lift our voices together, declaring your greatness. And yes, Lord, we do it to declare to the heavens, to declare to the nations that God, the Creator God, wants his creation back. His heart is that all peoples would enjoy fellowship with him. And yes, Lord, as we journey through these next months, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the difficulties. We thank you for the struggle, because it simply provides us with an opportunity to walk together in unity. To declare, doesn't matter what comes, we're in this together because of who is in us. All glory, praise and honor to you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.